Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand in the air and our ushers will make sure you get one. As you're finding Matthew 14, just a few things. One is we forgot to mention that there is actually a welcoming lunch today. And so we've been trying to do, you know, like every month or every 2 months or so, all the people that are new to church, you know, to take them out for lunch and, you know, with some leaders, and I'll be joining along today as well. And so, where is it at, Hannah? What's which one? Oh, you don't know the name? Oh, okay. Ken, what's the name of that place? Urawa, okay. And stuff. So we go there as a staff all the time. That's why I know. So it's Urawa, and it's right by the MTR station on DeVoe Road. And so please join us at about 12:15, right? Is that the reservation? If you're new today, please join us. And some people RSVP'd and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so that's today after the service. We also want to say a huge, huge congratulations to Nate and Amber Quick. They had their baby boy, you know, Malachi. Praise God. Right, so Ben and Isaiah have a new little brother, and he was, what, 2 weeks late, 2.5 weeks late? Almost 2 weeks late, yeah. So healthy, and Amber's doing well, and, you know, it's all. Is this going to be your last kid now, since you named him Malachi, you know? I mean, oh, okay. You know, I mean, they're all named prophets, if you noticed, right? And Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. I mean, you guys don't get my humor. That's okay. You know, and so really congratulations to them. And then today when you came in, you got this card today, right? And I'll be going over this, and we'll be going over this for the next few weeks, right? And I'll explain everything about it and share more into it, okay? Now, before I get into the text, can we turn this on, Ken? I just want to give you a report, right? This is our building fund to date, right? And so we started in 2009 in November. If you remember, I gave a series of messages, and we started our basically what we call SP Move. And this is what we're calling our move to find a new sanctuary, a new place to launch more of our vision. And so our first fruits offering that time came to, this is all in Hong Kong dollars, 8.5 million Hong Kong dollars. And then we had the move offering, this is Jan to June, was 7.6, and then July to January of this year, 3.7. So our total move just came from the offerings was 19.8 million. And then we had fundraisers. You know, we had our auction, we had our hip hop dance, you know, Rye had a bunch of jewelry fundraisers. We did the, what was the other big one that we had? The coffee, Just Coffee, right? Trying to hook people up. And we tried, you know, different things, and it came to about 0.3, right? It's about 300,000 Hong Kong dollars. And our total to date in our move building fund is $20.1 million, right? Just as an update. And we'll be giving you more of an update later on. And so, okay, we can turn it off now. Right. And again, if you have any questions, you know, about this or anything else, you can come talk to me about it. Janice, why don't you stand up? This is our project manager, Janice, and she's actually the one that does everything, right? And so you should probably talk to her, actually. And we have steering committee members, and you can come talk to us, and we'll try to help you through this thing. And I'll talk a lot about our building fund and the pledge, you know, as we go along today. The title of my message today is called Getting Out of the Boat. Getting Out of the Boat. And it's in Matthew chapter 14. Verse 22 to 33, we're talking about Jesus walking on the water, and then we'll go on, okay? So Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already many stadia away from the land, battered by the waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." Amen. Let's pray together, church. Father, we bless you today, God. We, God, love you so much, Lord, and we are so appreciative, God, and thankful, Lord, for the way that you've moved in our lives, Lord, for saving us, first and foremost, God, for blessing our lives with family, friends, a church, God, our work, our possessions, Lord. But we come to this place now, God, and we empty ourselves of all those things, Lord, God, and we just humbly come to sit at your feet, Lord. And I pray right now that you release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us, individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself, God, and I ask that you use me today to preach your prophetic word with power and authority, God. We thank you, Lord. We love you so much, Jesus. Come, God, in the midst of us today. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. 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 You know, God really, he's really, really blessed us so much as a church. I mean, if you haven't figured out, you know, turn to your neighbor, I mean, as exuberantly, as graciously, as lovingly as you can and say, "Hey, good looking, God has blessed us." You know, I mean, we had so many babies and so many weddings, and even more babies are coming and more weddings and, you know, and more blessings, promotions, you know, people bought property. I mean, God's really, really blessed us. And that's all material things, but especially spiritually. You know, we're growing. We just finished our fast, or some of us finished our fast. And, you know, and we can see God really moving and doing something in the midst of us. God, he loves us, you know. You know, I mean, that's just the easiest way of saying it. God, he just loves us so much. And it's not because we're blessed. It's because we're his children. You know, he loves us so much. And, you know, and a part of what I want to speak about is really in relation to that, more than anything else. As a church, you know, we're going through our building stuff. And you know, I should just say this up front. We actually kind of found a building, right? I can do this, right, Janice? Right? I'm not going to go so far ahead, right? But she has to limit what I could say. But we kind of found a building right now, and it's kind of in that stage where we're kind of looking at how feasible this is for our church. And it's really close from here. And so don't worry, we're not going to move out to Kennedy Town or, you know, or Wan Chai or, you know, New Territories or anything like that. You know, we're going to stay in this area, and it seems like, yeah, nothing wrong with New Territories. Sorry about that, right? I know some of you guys live out there, you know. But being a church in downtown is what we want to do, you know, a church in the city, and, you know, kind of God's call to us. And so, you know, thus we move into, and we knew we were going to do this anyway, right? We started off last November of actually 2009 saying that we have a three-year commitment as a church to try to raise $100 million. You know, and I know that when I share it with some of you guys, thought, you know, this guy's crazy. You know, especially since, if you remember, that was the global financial crisis. You know, and because I know some of you guys are new, right? I just go back a little bit. You know, in 2009, during the fast in January, you know, while we were fasting, the Lord really spoke to me about starting a building fund. You know, and honestly, I had already known, right? And I just resisted and resisted and resisted. Right, to the point, because I, you know, honestly, as your pastor, I just felt bad. I'm just being perfectly honest. I was like, man, I don't want to burden my people. You know what I mean? Like, this just, you know, I mean, you know, a lot of people are losing their jobs. You know, we had a handful of people that weren't working, you know, and then most people, you know, according to, you know, meeting with me and talking, and, you know, they didn't know if they were going to have a job, you know, and I mean, in the midst of this, and God says, okay, raise money now. You know, and I, you know, and honestly, and if you remember, you know, last November when I preached, and you know, I apologized to you guys, you know, because I disobeyed the Lord. You know, I put my own feelings or your feelings, you know, and I really disobeyed God. And it came to, you know, can you imagine? I was carrying this weight for 10 months, basically, knowing that we have to do this, but just waiting and holding off and holding off. You know, and then November, you know, it just push came to shove. And, it, you know, I mean, I heard the warning of the Lord. And so I said, okay, let's launch. You know, and people gave, you know, people gave out of their need. And we'll be sharing some testimonies, you know, here, you know, in particular, you know, and these, don't be wowed by the amounts or anything, but be wowed by the heart, you know. you know, we had a member of our church who had been praying, and this person really felt, you know, as this person was praying, that God was really doing something in his life and in his family's life. You know, and particularly the Lord was speaking to him about this spirit of poverty, you know, that was just present, you know, in his life. And, you know, this person had a great job and, you know, looked forward to, you know, many years of building wealth and all these things. But in particular, he just noticed this pattern in his life, or in this person's life, you know, and in the whole life. I always do this. I can never keep it straight, right? It's okay. You know, it's a he, right? So his life and, you know, and in his family. And so the Lord spoke to him about just giving his whole bonus, you know, to the building fund. And he did, right? His bonus that year was $4 million. And in one shot, boom, he did it, right? And, you know, it's just, again, don't be wowed by the amount, right? But it's the heart. You know, we had another college student, you know, that was here and for a very short time. And just, I mean, when I talked to her, she was weeping, you know, because she heard the message and she wanted to give so much and she had nothing, you know, I mean, really had nothing, you know, and so much so that she was so distressed, her parents called me up, you know, on the phone. And I'm not to you know, like yell at me or anything like that, but just like, you know, what's going on? And I just share with them the vision, and I share with them, hey, this is a free will, you know. We're not, I mean, you know, we're not forcing these parents were non-believers, you know. We're not forcing anyone to do anything, and so they kind of understood. And this this, you know, awesome little college girl, right, gave $300 for a building fund. You know, I mean, really, I mean, don't have any money whatsoever. Again, it's not the amount; it's the heart. Right, I know another church member who's, you know, very sketchy about their work, you know, and, you know, was able to give $2 million, you know, over the course of time. And you know what I mean? And for me, I know people's situations, you know. I mean, you know, people share it with me, and I know. And then, you know, when they really go out of their way, man, it really speaks, right? I mean, it speaks to me. I think it speaks to God, you know, and all these things. You know, a church, you guys remember my friend Eric Lehman? You know, Eric sent me an email just recently, since I've been really praying about this a lot. And Eric is one of my best friends, you know, and his church in Florida. If you know what's going on in Florida, it is the worst hit state in the United States. And a lot of his church members are losing their homes. You know, it's gotten to a place right now, you know, that actually there's three pastors on staff. And three pastors actually are not necessarily laid off, but they all have to go out and work. Even Eric, you know, and so he's been working actually as a UPS delivery, you know. I mean, hardly getting paid peanuts, you know, for his work because they need to support their family. Their church is really struggling financially. Well, Eric sends me an email and says, Pastor Sam, you know, we really believe in your church. We believe in your vision. And so as a church, we decided to sow, you know, $1,000 US, you know, into your building fund, you know. And, you know, I read that and, you know, just broken up inside, you know, just knowing what they're going through, right? And, you know, I've been praying for them and, you know, for, you know, he's one of my best friends, right? And, you know, Eric, he's been here and I'm sure he doesn't appreciate me telling this story, you know, but it's okay. He's one of my best friends, so he'll forgive me, you know. And, you know, but just really going out of his way, just saying, you know, we believe in what you guys are doing. We believe in your work in Hong Kong. You know, and even though our pastors are going back to work, you know, basically they can't pay their pastors. You know, and so two of the associate pastors are actually not getting a salary at church anymore. And they're working, you know, back in the marketplace instead of serving the Lord full-time like they were. And even they sowed into the ministry, you know, and just say, hey, we believe in what you're doing, you know. You know, we've also heard incredible testimonies, you know, through the time. You know, I'll have Jeremy share his testimony again, you know, and later on. And, you know, you remember what he, you know, went through. And, you know, the Lord spoke to him about a figure and, you know, and he thought, no way, right? And especially after he received his bonus amount. He received what he was going to receive for his bonus. You know, and then, but God gave him a figure, and it doesn't match. You know what I mean? It's like it, you know, and so remember, Jeremy just emptied out his whole bank account. He gave to the church in first fruits, you know, and then when his bonus came in, right, God actually added to the number. We don't know how it happened, right? I mean, basically, you know, Goldman said, you're going to get this amount, but when the actual bonus came, he got so much more, you know, and is able to take care of all the obligations that he had. But praise God. You know, you remember the testimony I shared a little while back about a student. You know, he was actually happened to visit that Sunday when I was sharing, you know, on these messages, and he basically you know, heard from the Lord, and, you know, I mean, this is a college student, right, in Korea, and basically heard from God, and so he wrote down this figure, and he gave it to our building fund. He actually applied to Pasadena Arts Center, right? He's an artist guy. And if you know Pasadena Arts Center, it's one of the most expensive schools in the United States. You know, I think their tuition itself is like $60,000, and then, you know, plus everything. I mean, it's just unreal. And he actually applied the year before for a scholarship, you know, actually to get in, and he didn't get it. And, you know, and then he just randomly applied again. He gave, and he really struggled. He wrote me this long email. He really struggled. He gave the, he felt God lead him, right? And so he wrote it down on the pledge. He gave it to the church and basically said, God, you better do something. You know, he goes back home to Korea after his visit in Hong Kong. As soon as he gets home, there's a letter waiting for him from Pasadena Arts Center, right? And the letter, right, even though he had failed the year before, the letter was a full ride with a stipend. And so when he gave to the Lord, right, to the building fund, basically God just said, thank you very much, paid for his school and then some, right? And so, you know, we see all kinds of stuff like this. By far, for me personally, and I shared this with you before, you know, like, you know, with the pledge cards, you know, I'm the only one that saw these, you know, and actually now, you know, my assistant who organized it all and put it all together, also, you know, has taken a peek at those things. And, you know, I share with you guys, you know, when we first did this in 2009 in November and all the pledges came back in, you know, I was crying in my office, you know. I mean, you know, I don't cry that much, you know. And so I think it was quite significant for me. And I really wept in my office just, you know, reading the pledges and especially knowing what people are going through. You know, and it so touched my heart, and it was just so revitalizing for me, you know, as a pastor, and say, man, we've got people, you know, in our church that are willing to, you know, to sacrifice and believe in the vision, and, you know, and it was so refreshing, right? And so I actually just want one of them to come and share with you guys a little bit today. And so let's welcome up Jamie Donaldson.
Thank you. I grew up learning about fasting. It wasn't something very strange to me, but I think the churches that I attended for many years treated it very much as a very personal issue, and you know, if you fasted, that was just your business. I'd never been to a church where the whole church fasted. It never happened. But I had developed a habit of fasting, maybe, you know, one day or 3 days. I think the longest fast I'd ever done was 7 or maybe 10 days. And that was a very big deal to me. And when I came to this church, I think we arrived in December and the sort of they were just announcing there was a 21-day fast. I thought, that doesn't sound very good. So I think I skipped the first year and sort of thought, well, that's very brave of you all. But coming down to the second year, or at the end of that year, was when Sam had first announced the building fund. And that was a big step of faith for you, for us, for everybody who wanted to make a pledge. Because when you pledge something to God, you know, it comes from the Old Testament where you made a promise to God and you better keep it. All right. So my wife and I had a pray about what we should do, and we came up with a number that for us was a very impossible number. I mean, honestly, far beyond our means at any moment to have paid. Probably 10% would have been hard. Most of you don't know very much about my business, but you know I have a coffee business, but I that's sort of a sideline, and most of my time is working in financial services, and many of you are privileged to work for very prestigious companies where you have a lot of support and systems and legal support and other things that, you know, it protects you. And in some cases, even if you make a mistake, somebody will help out fixing the problems. I work for a very small firm. We don't have all those things. And some years ago, I was embroiled in a rather scary and strange dilemma. Our firm had undertaken some work for a client, and a director of that company had actually, unknown to us, been involved in securities fraud in another country. And so, unexpectedly and completely to my shock and surprise, I discovered that not only was he under investigation, but our firm was also. And as a result of our connection to this company. And we were wrongly accused of all kinds of things, and we were innocent of all the charges, but guilty by association. A lot of people therefore assume that because there's some suspicion, it's easy to believe those things. So, of course, that also causes your business to disappear, because people just, maybe it's true. And I spent several years trying to clear my name. In fact, during this time, almost all my savings were locked up by the court. And it was a very, very difficult time. Just in case there was any problem, you know, they wanted to hold all the money. And so last year, in January 2010, was the first time that I joined the fast. And one of the things that I was praying about was, firstly, the pledge that I'd made a few months before. And secondly, of course, this thing hanging over my head, which had been going on for several years, not a few years. My commitment to God during the fast was if he would release the funds, I would give half that money towards our pledge. And actually, the first week of the fast was awful. It was horrible. By the end of the week, I was yelling at my staff. I was as grouchy as it could be. I just tried too hard. I tried to do an absolute fast and pray all the time, and I couldn't get my work done. It was terrible. So at the end of a week, I said, okay, God, I need to fast, but maybe this is not the approach. So I modified my fast, and it was much better, and I carried on. I did a partial fast and fasted some other things, and it worked out really well. And at the end of that period, I had to, just about the time that it was finishing, I had to urgently go to New Zealand for some business. And I was in transit in Singapore when my mobile phone rang. And it was my lawyer to say that the court had finally come to a conclusion and we were cleared of the charges. And I just went, you know, this is years and years of stress and frustration. And now, okay, other things connected? Absolutely. Fasting affects what happens in your life. It affects God's seeing you to be serious about what you're asking. But also it gives you the perspective that you're doing it with God, not just by yourself and, dear God, please. You're actually participating in that process. And God did it just like that. So if I would encourage you, fasting and prayer, I mean, obviously the things go together, but the commitment of fasting changes things. I kind of guess if I were to sum it up, I would say fasting makes it fast. You know, something that you maybe have struggled over a long time, God can do it just like that. And it's not a rewards basis. God's not saying, well, if you fast, I will. But we just get in line with what God does, and amazing things happen. I just want to praise God. He helped. I am excited about our building fund. I know lots of other people have given different things or pledged different things. You know, if we are in tune with what God does, he does something in our lives. And I just want to give him praise. I'm still believing God for the things that happened from this fast. Different agendas this time, but God is doing great things. So thank you for those people who have fasted and believe God that something will happen. Sometimes it doesn't happen right in the day, it happens a bit after, but it'll happen fast.
Thanks, Jamie. Now, I told Jamie that if he misses anything, I'm going to fill in the gaps. And he missed a lot. Okay, he's too humble, man, you know. It's okay, right, Jamie? He's a little nervous, but no, I gotta. I'm telling you guys, Jamie and Rachel, you know, as a family, man, it was real blessing. I knew their story, you know, and I was actually surprised that you shared that today. Very personal issue for them, and their pledge was incredible, you know, and it was one of the reasons why I was in my office weeping, and you know, they. You know, the when we talked, right, he basically told me, he says, you know, Sam, I don't actually believe in buildings. That's what he said. I was like, uh-oh, what's the next line, right? But then he said, but you know what? The Lord spoke to us so clearly, you know, and that, and then even, you know, with the amount that they gave us for this pledge and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, God's going to do something. You know, he's going to do something. And it was, I mean, even an astronomical amount and almost all fulfilled, praise God. You know, I mean, really, this is something only God can do, you know. And, you know, do you mind if I share what you gave in the beginning? It's up to you guys. Okay, so this was what because, you know, they didn't, coming out in November, they didn't have anything to offer the Lord in this way. And so they gave us, so they gave us their family heirloom as a down payment, basically. You know, and it was just amazing, right? And I was like, who does stuff like this? You know, I mean, I read about it before, you know, but like, man, this happens in our church, right? And they basically, in a very nice letter, just said, you know, we don't have anything to offer right now, you know, to the building and to SP and whatnot, but in faith, we're going to, you know, offer this. And so please accept this as, you know, our faith pledge. Right, and so they gave a family heirloom, a piece of jewelry, you know, that we still have, and don't worry, I'll give it back to you. I keep forgetting to give it back, you know, and man, I was so blessed, and you could see why, you know, I'm in my office weeping. I'm like, wow, we got people like that at our church, you know, and you know, I don't think I've ever said this publicly, right? But if Ethan wants to marry one of my daughters. Done deal, man, right? I got three, so he could take a pick, you know? But, that's, you know, and that, to me, that just encouraged me to no end, to say, man, let's keep going for it. You know, because in the midst, there's always doubt, right? I mean, we're always fighting doubt and, you know, and trying to advance into faith, right? And, you know, and I'll sit in my office sometimes praying. I'll be like, God, is this really going to happen? You know, like you know it. You know what I mean? I mean, we can jive with this. We know this is what God wants. You know, we know that this is God's heart and His desire. But then sometimes along the way in our path of faith, you know, we hit those bumps along the road and saying, God, is this? You know, are you going to really come through for us? For me? You know, I'm sure many of us are praying these kind of things, and it's not being weak. It's just being real. You know, do you remember the man that came to Jesus? And remember Jesus turning to the guy and he says, man, if you believe. You know, remember that, the most honest prayer in the Bible. He says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, and it's kind of like that. Right, Lord, I believe. Man, I'm selling out into this thing. But then, Lord, help my unbelief. Help that part in me that still struggles. You know, and that's our Christian condition. You know, in a way. And, just amazing, right? We read in this passage, and why I picked this passage for us, and I'm not going to spend too much time teaching on it, per se, you know, but, you know, Peter, you know, he's on the journey, and, you know, Jesus walks on water. I mean, that's, you know, sometimes we read the Bible, but we don't really read the Bible, you know? Like, Jesus walked on water, man. I mean, let that sink in for a little bit. And the storm, I mean, and then Jesus, I mean, can you imagine being one of the guys on the boat? You know, and you had a long day of ministry, and you're going to the other side, and all of a sudden, you see this figure walking on the water. You know, and at first, you're scared, and then he says, hey, take courage, don't be afraid. You know, and then next thing you know, they recognize it's Jesus. Man, blow your mind kind of stuff. Jesus still walks on water, church. Right? He still does the miraculous. He still does what's impossible to man. You know, and so Peter comes to him, you know, in a simple word. What does he say? He says, Lord, if it's you, permit me to come to you. You know, in other words, Lord, let me get out of the boat. You know, and Jesus says, come, come. I share this because this journey that we're on, right, every single one of us is corporately as a church, and it's individually every single one that call themselves a member of this church. If you're new, man, I'm really sorry. This is not really our regular Sunday service format, right? This is more of a family in-house type of thing, you know, but hopefully you'll receive something as well from the Lord, you know, but, you know, it's the Lord saying, get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. You know, if you really, really want to walk with Jesus, you know, you really want to experience him, he's telling us, get out of the boat. You know, and I'll tell you, I know a lot of the focus has been financially, right? We're talking about money because that's what we have to raise. But it's so much more than that, you know. And I don't want you to think that I'm some money-hungry pastor. Or I'm not, you know. And people that have been here at church, they know that I'm not, right? And so I can, you know, honestly, I have no problem talking about these type of things. Because one, I know money is extremely, extremely spiritual. You know, do not kid yourself on this. Money could very well be one of the most extremely spiritual things in our life. You know, our time and our money. You know, it's just a reality, right? And you know, and some of you guys, I know you guys don't know me, and so you can get a very wrong impression, you know, right away. But you know, let me just share this with you, since we have so many people that are fairly new to church. You know, when I came to Hong Kong, you know, in 2002, at the end of 2002, we started Solomon Porch in 2003. You know, I speak on generosity. That's, you know, like certain pastors have kind of pet things that they preach on. You know, things that they've experienced, you know, and things that, you know, that they've learned and they, you know, can relate back to the congregation. The spirit of generosity is just one of those things in my life, right? It's just what I've seen God do in my life, you know? And so it's very easy, you know, for me to do that. But when I came to Hong Kong, you know, the Lord made it very clear to me that I was not to speak on money for a few years, you know? And so, but I mean, it was killing me, right? Because, man, I want our church to be blessed and, you know, and all these kind of things. But the Lord just said, no, don't do that. And I see the wisdom in it now. Because Hong Kong is such a money place, right? Everything is all about money. You know, I mean, it's you know, that's materialism, greed, you know, commerce. I mean, this is what this place is really all about in the essence, right? You know, and so if I'm going to come right off to the front and just say, hey, you got to start giving and all these things, you know, the Lord always, right, he always goes for a relationship first, you know, before he gets to the business at hand. You know, and so I realized, I mean, it was just God's, it wasn't my wisdom, it was God's wisdom, right? To say, don't say anything, build relationship with the church first. You know, and so, you know, we built relationship over the 2 years, you know, our small church that we're starting, you know, and, you know, build rapport with one another. And so basically come to the place where our church members at that time could trust me, right? I know people fall because of money. I know that. You know, my mom used to tell me that all the time. She says, Sam, be careful with your heart. You know, in other words, be humble, right? You know, and take care of what you do, you know, with your money, right? And my mom would constantly, because she's met so many people along the road that fell because of money. And she didn't want her son to be a part of that trap as well. You know, and so she'd always share that with me, you know. And so I'm telling you, as I share these things with you guys, it's not, you know, I'm not, you know, talking out of a, you know, ivory tower or whatnot. I'm in the trenches, just like you, and I'll even be sharing a little bit more later on, you know. But it's a challenge, right? God's challenging each of us. Get out of the boat. Get out of that place of security, you know. Get out of that place and let go and release. And not necessarily just funds, you know, but your life, your time, and your resources, you know. Give it over to the Lord in this way. You know, Peter, he may be criticized, you know, and it's we make, you know, out of all the disciples, we make fun of Peter the most. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things, right? He always says stuff, you know, puts his foot in his mouth, and, you know, a lot of times, you know, makes himself, you know, to be, you know, a donkey, you know what I mean? I don't want to curse today because it's Sunday, but, you know, and stuff. So, but I mean, just crazy kind of stuff, right? You know, not that I curse on Saturday and Monday through Friday, right? But especially. But there's just something, you know, about that. But you know what? Only Peter got to walk on the water. I mean, think about that for a second, right? Only Peter got to walk on the water. Only Peter, out of all the disciples, got to experience the thrill, the the joy, right? The manifest presence of Jesus, you know? And sure, he started sinking, right? You know, but man, he just said, Lord, help. And Jesus came. The word says immediately he came and he picked him out of that water. And then the beautiful thing, he got to walk back on the water, holding Jesus' hand back to the boat. What would you give up for that kind of experience? You know, and see, Peter, he's a fisherman, right? You know, for me, I feel like this, and this is kind of a good application for us, right? You know, in Mark, I believe it's chapter 6. In Mark 6, Jesus, right, he's in the boat, and there's seas going, and remember, he's sleeping. And remember, he wakes up, they wake him up, and Jesus turns to the ocean and says, peace, be still, hush. The winds died. Remember, he rebuked the wind, right? It just died. Now, Peter's got that in the back of his mind, right? And I think the impetus of Peter stepping out of the boat was, I think he remembered that. Right? He's a fisherman, right? He knows rough weather. I mean, he's not any dummy, right? He doesn't think that if he goes out that, you know, he'll be okay. He understands this, you know, being a man of the sea. But yet, because of his past experience with God, and that's really, you know, what this pledge and all this, it's like because God has been faithful in your life. I mean, that's really what it's about. I'm not asking you to just jump over the cliff. I'm saying if God has been faithful in your life, right? If you've trusted God and he's come through, or another way, if you trust the leadership, you know, that we're not going to lead you down a dark alley, right, and lose all our money or, you know, whatever the case may be. If you trust, if we have a track record, if God has a track record, if I have a track record, we have a track record as a staff, you know, then let's get out of the boat. I think Peter had that in his mind. I think he understood in a sense, you know, and he remembered that event happening, and he's kind of like, okay, yeah, let's get out of the boat. You know, let's go for it. You know, because Jesus in one word, can make everything still and calm. And so Peter gets out. But then, you know, we live our lives, right? We know what happens, you know. We're in this thing, and all of a sudden, you know, we see the waves and the storm, you know, and you lose your job, you know, and all of a sudden your bonus is not so much so, and, you know, or there's trouble at work, and you may have to move, or, you know, and all kinds of circumstances, all kinds of storms rage around us, right? Maybe you have another kid or another two kids, you know, and now, you know, where's all this funds, where's all this going to come from? But in the midst of that still, right? What happened? Peter just said, Lord, just help. Just help. Right? And so there's really two faith steps that happened there. One, just to get out of the boat. And the other one, right, when everything was turning topsy-turvy all around, to turn to the Lord. And the Lord came and rescued. Right? I believe this, you know. I believe that God's going to challenge you to take a step of faith, to get out of the boat. But that's not the end of the story, right? It's going to be in the sea, in the storm, where we're going to have to trust God or trust our circumstances, right? Would you rather trust the storm? Would you rather trust Jesus in the midst of the storm, right? That's also a part of the faith journey, you know? That's how it works. You know, we talked about this commitment and whatnot. Let me just share with you just some figures, okay? Just to, you know, just to lead us on a little bit. Last year we had 116 people pledge. 116 people out of roughly about 200, and you know, I'd say by the time maybe about 220 people, right? About 210 people maybe, right? So we had 116 people pledge. So that meant, you know, about 40% of our congregation didn't really believe in what we're doing, or I don't know, right? You know, whatever the case. Out of that, for the year, 157 people gave into the building fund. You know, from that, the pledge amount, there was $26,381,800 were pledged. From the pledge amount, $16,320,971.60 were given from the pledges. But then another roughly about 3 point some million came from outside of the pledges. You guys kind of know what we're talking about, right? You know, and so, you know, I mean, figures don't mean much, but you can tell what, you know, something happened along the way, right? So people, you know, maybe they get out of the boat, they pledged, But then the storms and whatever raging things happen. And so a lot of things were not fulfilled in that way. I'm not, listen very carefully. I'm not trying to say, hey, you didn't fulfill the pledge. Something's wrong. No one's going to contact you, right? No one's going to write you a letter, right? No one's going to say you owe, you know, Uncle Solomon, you know, not this Solomon, but, you know, Uncle Solomon's porch. You wish, right? You know, don't worry, right? It's there's nothing, we don't, that's not the way we operate as a church, you know? But it's just a challenge for us, you know, because just because you pledge, that's, you just got out of the boat. But now you got to wade through the storm, you know, and the things that kind of moving and going along, you know, in that way. And so, you know, and so this is where we're at, right? Right? Remember what God has already done in your life, you know, and as a result of that, right, get out of the boat. Real simple. You know, God, my friends, is leading all of us as a church to get out of the boat. You know, this is our faith journey. You know, I'm telling you, what we do in these next few years, you know, will lay the deepest foundation. Remember our theme this year, right? Go deeper. We'll lay the deepest foundation of our church moving forward. You know, and I don't have so much time today to talk about our vision. You know, I'll get to that in the coming weeks and whatnot, that we're not just giving into a building. A building is a building. Who cares about a building? We're giving into a vision, you know, and God's, and you know, God's doing something. Let me share something with you, right? Kenny, our tech, where is it? Sorry, guys. Did I lose it? Did I lose it? Is there a piece of paper? Sorry. No. Oh, this is really weird. Kenny, did I give it to you? It's actually, it's hits on our website. Oh, here it is, sorry. It's behind the car. Woo, I was getting nervous. Just to give you an idea of just an impact as a church, right? This is just our website, you know. I thought that was very interesting. This is just January of this year, right? You know, this is from until January 24th, okay? We had, in terms of downloads, you know, from our website, and the sermons and all that stuff, 119 gigabytes, you know. I don't know if you know what that means. I didn't know either. Roughly a sermon is about 20 to 30 megabytes, right? And so, you know, about 120 gigabytes, that's huge, you know, and so it's going all over the world. Right now, this is the top 25 countries, right, where we're getting all this stuff that's happening. Yeah, 25 countries, right? Unbelievable. You know, Hong Kong is number one, right? About 40 gigs in Hong Kong. Apparently, we're big in China, right? Actually, the most, 43 gigabytes in China, you know, and stuff. The U.S. is third, 17.2, followed by South Korea, Great Britain, Canada, Japan, the EU, Australia. I thought I was a lot more popular in Australia, but only, it's only 2.22. I'll be there next month. I'll yell at them. Singapore, Mexico, France, Taiwan, Malaysia, the Russian Federation, Indonesia, Bangladesh, Germany, Thailand, Israel, Netherlands, Ukraine, Poland, Czech Republic. I don't know anyone in these countries, by the way. So it's not like my friend is, you know, New Zealand, right? And then others. There's a whole nother others, you know, that are happening. God's, this is crazy, right? When Kenny showed me this, I thought, are you serious? You know, and I mean, we'll have to quantify this more, but I mean, he's got this whole thing that he sent. If you guys want to take a look at it, especially if you're a nerd, you can, you know, take a look at it and kind of figure out more for us and what's going on. You know, but God's doing something, right? You know, and it's not just the preaching, right? It's just the whole DNA of the whole church, right? The Lord is moving in a way. I can't explain it. You know, I don't understand it. You know, but the Holy Spirit is doing something, you know. And this, friends, is a part of that faith journey. It's a part of that journey that we're all on, each one of us, you know. But when you get scared, listen to Jesus' words. Verse 27, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Take courage, right? It's me. Don't be afraid. Last time I shared with you some stories, you know, I'll do it real quick, right? It's a brief history of SP, right? In 1969, Hong Kong Korean Church started, right? That's the church that meets upstairs, right? They started in 1969. In 2000, they decided to start an English service, right? Some of the elders' kids were growing up, and so they thought, you know what, before we lose them, we better start this English service. And you know, just to give you an idea, Jung was one of them, you know, as well as Tom. And I think that's the only members. Were you here then? Yeah, and then Grace, right? That's probably about it, you know. And they basically started this service. And then they started a weekly prayer meeting to pray to God for a pastor to come to Hong Kong. And it was Annie, right, who's Sam Kim's wife, and Jane. And another girl, I forget her name, but she's no longer here. She moved from Hong Kong. What was her name?
Kate.
Kate, yeah. So they three got together to pray every week for God to send a pastor. And then just by the grace of God, I came in November of 2002. I'm not going to share that testimony because it's quite long. We don't have time for that. But I came in 2002. In 2003, I came in November of 2002. In 2003, we started Solomon's Porch. You know, we didn't consider ourselves to be an English ministry. You know, and we started SP, and we intentionally to start an international church. And so our first beginning, most of our congregation were Koreans. And I told our Korean congregation that you guys stop speaking Korean, right? Because we're not a Korean church. You know, besides, I don't understand what you're saying anyway. And so, you know, that was the other thing. but yeah, so stop, but more so, just stop speaking Korean because we're not a Korean church. You know, we're in Hong Kong, and we're an international church, and we want Chinese people to come. You know, we want, you know, Caucasians to come. You know, South Africans we like. You know, Kiwis we like, right? You know, Brits are okay sometimes, you know, and stuff. And so we, you know, come, right? And so, but we originally from the beginning, you can ask these guys in the beginning. I rebuked them for speaking Korean, right? Because that's not who we are. Right, God has bigger plans, you know, for us than just to be one type of church in that way. In October of 2004, we had our first retreat. You know, by the way, January of 2003, we started our first fast. Right, so 2 months into our church, in February of 2007, we started our second service. Also that year, we hired Pastor Sam Kim full time, and we started Noah's Ark with one kid. Was my daughter Elise. She was the first and only kid in our Sunday school for a while, right? And now our Sunday school is busting out of the seam. And then Pastor Nate joined us part-time as he was also teaching at Canadian International School. In 2009, we hired Ken Chen, you know, to be our media pastor. And then also that end of that year, we started our SP Move fundraising to move into a new building. In 2010, we hired Sophia, and also mid-July in 2010, we became Solomon's Porch Limited, you know, and got our approval from the government. And in 2011, as we start off, we hired Monica, you know, as our administrator. And then hopefully, you know, I'm thinking next year when I get to share that we can say in 2011 we moved. Let me just say that again. I don't know if you caught that, right? To say that we moved, right, and God increased the vision. Now, let me share with you another, and I did this 2 years ago, but this one really spoke to me. I got a part of a book, and this is a Yeouido Full Gospel Church, Pastor Youngi Cho, and, you know, the world's largest church, and, you know, they weren't the world's largest church from the beginning. And just so you know, right, I don't want to be the world's largest church, okay? If you've been around too much, I'm not so much into growing, you know. My preaching is such in a way, I'm actually into reducing, right? And so, you know, people actually think I'm joking. I'm actually not joking, right? I don't really believe in large churches, right? You know, as a pastor, for me personally, I think, I mean, I'm being very honest, and you've heard me say this many times, I think I can competently pastor about 80 people. That's just me, right? I think, you know, without killing myself, and I can still spend time with my family, you know, and raise our kids and stuff, I could probably pastor about 80 people, you know, and stuff. And so, I mean, that's why we keep adding staff, right, and things. But I think that's probably the max, in my personal estimation. You know, I know there's studies out there that basically say 120, you know, if you read like Malcolm Gladwell and, you know, and this kind of stuff. And so, you know, I'm roughly thinking about that. So we're not trying to be the world's greatest church, right? You know, we want to be an impacting church, you know, but that's something totally different, you know. And so here's Cho, and at this time he had 10,000 members at his church. And God spoke to him about building a 10,000-seat sanctuary that would send out 500 missionaries. And we'll share more of the vision, you know, in the coming weeks. And so he picked this really boony side of town called Yeouido, which is this little island, you know, out there. Or is it an island? Or okay, it is. Thank you, Koreans. Okay. And so it was a $2 million project, and they had $1,000 in the bank. Elders, deacons, and the congregation were mostly against it. One of the elders stood up in a meeting and said this to Dr. Cho, said, "Pastor, I know you're a pastor and not a businessman, because that's impossible to do." Right? He just basically said, okay, basically, you don't know anything about anything, right? Just preach the Bible, okay? You do your job, we'll take care of the money kind of stuff, right? And but sure enough, in April of 1969, they started construction. They actually put the church on hold to build an apartment complex to raise money. Absolute failure, right? You know, it just, I mean, the thing just bombed. And then during that time, during a lot of hardship, what happened was God asked Cho to sell his house and to give it in faith. And so he sold his house and he moved out and he moved into, I mean, they built these apartments on the land and no one was moving in there. He thought his church members would move into this place. No one moved in. It was empty, you know, it wasn't fixed. And so he actually moved his family in. It wasn't even finished, right? Sold his house, his apartment, moved in. They had a prayer and giving meeting where they gathered the church together. This is what happened in this meeting. A woman sold her long hair to a wig shop and gave the money as an offering, right? Gave to the Lord. An 80-year-old woman approached Cho in tears and said, "Pastor, I have no money. All I have is this bowl and spoon. I want to offer these to God." Cho responded, "I can't accept this, right? Because then if I take this, you have nothing to eat with." And she replied, "It's okay. I can put the rice, you know, and other food on a cardboard, you know, and use my fingers to eat." As she's sharing this testimony, a businessman stood up in the congregation and said, "Hey, I'll give you $12,000 for that bowl and those chopsticks." And thus, you know, this woman who thought she had nothing, all of a sudden she had $12,000 to give to the Lord. Amazing. During this time, they found a crushed bowl, rice bowl, you know, in the offering, and they were actually going to toss it. You know, and what would happen is they would pray on this empty, you know, this site where they had, the government actually helped them with the land. And so it went on this site, and so homeless people actually go there for shelter, you know, when it was cold. And apparently one time this homeless person put in this bowl. And if you guys know like those Korean metal bowls, you know, I mean, this mangled up bowl, and he gave it to the offering. And Cho almost threw it away, you know, but he kept it in his office. You know, I don't know if he wanted to do it. He just kept it in his office. American missionary happened to be a member of his church, was there, and he saw the bowl on his desk or his bureau or something, and he said, "What's that?" You know, and Cho said, "Oh, it's just some homeless guy just gave us a bowl. I don't know what we're going to do with it." And the American missionary said, "Can I take it?" You know, and he said, "Sure, take it." The missionary actually went home on his furlough, and what happened is he was traveling all over the United States, and when he would preach, he'd take out this bowl to people, right? And he'd say, "There's a church in Korea that's reaching thousands, and you know, they're trying to build a building and send out 500 missionaries and all this." And he shared this picture of this bowl, and even the homeless are coming and just giving their bowl. So much so that the American churches, right, because they're generous, you know, started rising up. And, you know, actually, they don't really know how much, but they believe thousands upon thousands of dollars came in because a homeless guy just gave a bowl. Remember, it's not the amount. It's the heart, right? Don't ever forget that, right? What happened was that they they needed to get a loan, right? And they had no collateral and whatnot. Cho walked to the bank that was kind of right there. And when he walked to the bank, he went in, talked to the bank manager. He really prayed. Talked to the bank manager and says, "Hey, listen, right? You know, I mean, humbly, right? But listen, I have a church of 10,000 members, you know? And if you give me a loan today for X amount of money, I guarantee Monday 10,000 members are going to open up a bank account in your bank." Right? And sure enough, the bank said, "Okay." Basically gave him this loan, right? With no collateral. I mean, they had nothing. But 10,000 people opened up their bank account, right? In this bank, you know, we may do that. So, you know, just be ready to act, you know, if push comes to shove in that way. And now the church is now 780,000 members, sent missionaries all over the world. You know, just an incredible move of God, right? I'm not saying that we want to go after that kind of grandeur. That's not what I'm talking about. But it's these simple, simple acts of faith. You know what I mean? It wasn't the banker, you know, that makes $10 million a year. And, you know, okay, big deal, whoopee-doo, you know? I mean, not that I wouldn't mind that and stuff, but, you know, a lot of it really, it's the college student that gives $300, you know, that really sacrifices. It's guys that, you know, that are really, you know, trying to break a curse off their family. You know, it's other guys that are really trusting God for their jobs because they may not have it the next day, but still giving sacrificially. You know, I mean, there's something about that, you know, and these guys in this church, they had it. You know what I mean? They believed. Right, and all we're doing is we're challenging, you know, Solomon's Porch to believe. You got this card here today, and I'm not trying to touch your heartstrings or anything like that. Just be very, very, very clear. You know, it's two cards in one. If you haven't figured it out yet, and you tear it, the top portion goes to the church, and the bottom portion goes to yourself. And it simply says, after prayerful consideration, we, if you're a married couple, have decided to support Solomon's Porch's building vision for 2011. And we did a little different. We broke it up into two things. So what we're going to ask you to do is we're going to ask you to give a personal pledge. In other words, very simply, this is what I can do. I can do this. Pastor Sam, I can give this amount this year, right? And then the other side, and this is the beautiful part, this is the faith pledge. In other words, this is what I can do. This is what I believe God will do. And how do you get that? You pray to the Lord. You seek God's face and see how he would be a channel of blessing through you in this year. And then you fill out your name and your email address. You take the top off, you give it to the church, and the bottom part you keep for yourself, right? And you put it somewhere, and you pray, and you ask God to move, you know, on your behalf. Let me share what this is. It's a personal and faith pledge. A faith pledge, because personal pledge, you guys, we understand that, right? In other words, this is what I can do. You budgeted, you know, you make this amount of money, you know, you can give this amount of money. You know that, right? It's a done deal, okay? Now, we come to this place, right? The faith pledge is a promise made to God by faith, you know, to give over and above your regular tithes and offerings. Now, we don't want you to give to the building fund what should be your tithe. You guys understand, right? Or which is your missions offering. Sad to say, our missions offering took a huge hit in 2010. We knew it was going to take a huge hit. We didn't think it was going to take this huge of a hit. And so people usually gave to the mission fund, they actually just gave to the building fund. That's not what we're asking for, okay? You know, we're saying that you tithe, you know, and we'll talk about that in the coming weeks. In other words, this is between you and God, right? You know, there's no punishment for not tithing if you didn't, you know. This is one of those things where God offered a free will, right? You obey. But tithing, right, is an issue of obedience. Like, you can't be a leader at Solomon's Porch, you know, nor serve on any of the committees or whatnot if you don't tithe. You know, the meaning is, it's not like we're saying, okay, do you give, you don't. It's not, it has nothing to do with that. What it basically means is if you can't trust God with 10%, which is the minimum of what he asks, if you can't trust God, we can't trust you to hear from him. I mean, that makes sense, right? We can't trust you to make decisions. I mean, I think that's fair. You know, if you have a problem with that, you can come talk to me. You know, we can talk and debate, you know, and whatnot. I'm not going to change my mind, but we can talk and debate about it if you want. And stuff, and it's just a real simple thing, right? So tithe is just you and, it's between you and God. We're not going to come and say, okay, you didn't tithe, you know, trust me, we've never done that, we never will do that. In fact, as a pastor, I don't even know who's giving, all right? Just so you know, I have no idea, you know, I don't know who's tithing, I don't know who's not tithing, but I asked them, I said, are you tithing when they join in ministry, you know, and they say yes or no, and then we just move on, right? And so I don't know who's giving, I don't, that's, I just want to refrain myself, you know, from that kind of stuff. And I think it's just healthy, you know, for me, and it's healthy for the church, you know. I mean, I'm a sinful person, right? I don't want to treat someone better, you know, because they give or whatnot. I just don't want to play that game and things. And so I just make it, we make it a rule at church that our pastoral staff, we don't know, right? And so don't, you know, don't freak out or whatnot and stuff. And it's you and God, but it gets you in God's face, right? I mean, it puts you in right standing with God. It's your offering, right? What's above your tithe, right? This is when we talk about the blessings flowing and whatnot, you know. I mean, the tithe's part of that as well, you know, but this is what we're talking about. And so this faith pledge and this personal pledge, right, we're not talking about your tithes and offerings. We're talking about above and beyond that, right? And so, you know, above your tithes, regular offerings, and a particular need, it's faith because it requires sacrifice and trust in God. You know, that's what we're getting to. And so, you know, when you make a faith pledge, you pray. You know, the first part, right, this is what I can do. You know, just like I said, budget, you know, figure out, okay, this is what I can give to the Lord outside of my other giving. You know, of course, you decide to tithe and, you know, do these things. And then you remember God's faithfulness over our lives, right? And then you consider the need. You know, the need is huge. You know, I'll say this. If this building thing that we are looking at right now, if it, you know, and there's a few ifs, because our architect is looking at the structure and all these stuff and how many chairs it can fit. And, you know, he's doing the whole analysis, and we'll get that probably end of this week. You know, and if this is doable, you know, we may need to raise about $54 million in the next 2 months. It's okay. You can have a heart attack now. I'll let you have a heart attack, okay? But it looks like that may be because the Hong Kong government actually raised the down payment. And so now you actually have to have 50%, you know, to pay if you want to buy a commercial building. So we kind of got jacked. But it's an opportunity for faith. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, some of you guys are with me. Good. Right? And so, and then, you know, when you do that, you know, determine what you can afford to give. And then ask God for a faith goal. Right? You know, don't stop at what you can afford. Right? This is where the miracle takes place. Say, God, I can't do this, but Lord, you know, I think, you know, I believe that you might do this. And, you know, it could come in many different ways, right? You can get an unexpected raise, gifts, inheritances. Maybe some of you will sell your real estate or whatnot, you know. But this is the faith pledge. It's what you believe God will do. That's the second line that's a part of there. And then you trigger your faith by giving. On our anniversary weekend that we'll have in a few weeks, you know, the weekend of the 12th and 13th is our anniversary revival meeting, right? Celebrating our 8th anniversary. During that anniversary, we're going to do our first fruits offering for 2011. In other words, you're going to sow the seed of the sacrifice, you know, like we did last time, you know, last year. And so on the anniversary weekend, that's when we're going to actually ask people to pledge and then to give during that time. First fruits. To activate the faith, you know, that's in our lives, you know. God's provision is not triggered by our pledging. It's triggered by our actual giving, right? Make it very clear. When we give, we create an opportunity for God to fill. Amen? Again, it's not the amount, it's the heart. I'm going to ask Kenny to come up here. Ken shared with us this past week at church. And we were really, really blessed, and I wanted Ken to share as well, you know, and this is related. You know, Kenny's getting married this year, right, in November, and and so you can just share the story, Ken.
Okay. I'm Kenny. I'm one of the house church leaders. I co-lead with Janie. And last week, we had a house church leaders meeting, and that's when Pastor Sam shared about this building opportunity. And like you said, it's kind of a urgent thing where we need to come up with a lot of money within 2 months, right? So, I mean, so the difference from last year is that, you know, when you did the pledge, you have time to, you know, save up your paycheck and then give that amount. But for this year, it's kind of more urgent. And I really felt I wanted to be a part of this, But the only problem was I didn't really have any money. So, but I just, so I was just like, something was moving in me. I was just thinking, and, you know, there were people asking the leaders, are you guys on board? And I want to be on board, but, you know, I have no money. So I think as I was going home, I was in the cab with Janie, Matt, and Sophia, and I was just still thinking, and then I was just sharing with them. I was like, oh, I really want to do something, right? I want to be a part of this building pledge, and I thought it would be a really good opportunity to you know, sacrifice stuff, and I was trying to brainstorm. I was like, oh, maybe I can sell my PS3. That will get me maybe $1,500. I was like, oh, what else can I sacrifice? Really, that's my only valuable thing. And then, so, you know, Janie, Sophia, they're really encouraging. They're like, oh, it's okay. You know, it's all about the heart. And I was like, yeah, I know. But, you know, for me, the sacrifice was not like, oh, crap, I have to sacrifice. But I wanted to sacrifice. Like, it's like an opportunity, right? So that was Sunday night. The next day, it was Monday. I'm still like processing. What can I do? And I thought of something. And so I talked to Janie about it. And I said, hey, Janie, like, I know this is really, you know, I'm just bringing this out there. You know, you can pray about it. But I said, you know, we have our wedding and we have a certain budget that's set up, right? And I know wedding's supposed to be the most important day or one of the most important days of your life. And, you know, we can kind of offer this sacrifice, our wedding, and, you know, really try to cut down costs on, you know, the decorations, the dress, the venue, the photographer, and whatever that difference is, we can give it to the church for a building fund. And I was like, yes, we'll pray about it. And I was like, but I just felt like, you know, like with a wedding, it's not, I mean, those things matter, right? Those things make a difference. But for me, what makes a wedding really special, it's God, right? The God blessing that union. And I really believed God would be so pleased with that. And he would for sure just bless our union that day and make it so special and be so meaningful to offer that to God. So, you know, I was like, pray about it. And so that was Monday. And then, so Tuesday, just out of the blue, well, not out of the blue, but I had to meet up with my aunt because Janie's mom bought some flowers. So I had to give some flowers to, like Chinese New Year flowers to my aunt. And so I met her at a coffee place. And then as soon as I got in there, sat down, she's like, do you have a pen? I was like, no, but I'll get you one. So I went, asked for a pen, got a pen. And then started writing. And I was like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, I'm writing you a check. I was like, okay, well, like, why? And then, so basically, a few years ago, when I was, before working at SP, and just kind of figuring out my life in Hong Kong, I actually lived in her apartment on Castle and Kane. And I had been paying her rent every month. Not like the market rate, she gave me a deal. But anyway, so she said, yeah, I've actually, what's been happening is I know I collected rent from you, but I just wanted you to like not take things for granted and be disciplined and learn responsibility. So I've been actually just, you know, taking that rent money, saving it, and I want to give it back to you. I was like, sweet. It's like, thank you. That's good. I learned a good lesson. And I mean, she's awesome aunt, and really blessed. And she's not a Christian either. But so I got the check, got back to the office. I was like, yes. I was like, do I need to tithe this? Because it's, you know, it's the money I made. I already tithe, and I used it for rent. And then I was like, oh, do I need to tithe? And then it clicked, right? I've been asking for, you know, some money to give to the building fund. And then I was just like, oh, praise God. And then this amount was actually the exact same pledge amount as my last year pledge, exact amount. And I mean, of course, I was really encouraged. And I think for me, it was most touched that, you know, this wasn't even something I had prayed about yet. It was just me brainstorming, like, oh, how can I get money? What can I do to sacrifice? And I just feel like it's God knows, right? Like, God knows every hair on your head, but He also knows what's going on, even if you don't know what's going on. And He's taking care of you, and He will be faithful to you. And like Pastor Sam said, you know, He really knows the heart. That's it. Thanks. Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Kenny. Let me just close with this, you know. I'm just not asking you to do this without me not doing anything as well, right? This is, and I just share this just with our leaders, you know. I haven't shared this publicly, but some of them told me I should share with the whole church. You know, when we did our pledge, my wife and I, we prayed together, and the Lord gave us a number. You know, it was 100,000. Right, and so we both got the same exact number, and so we felt, you know, this is really God. My wife was thinking Hong Kong dollars, and I was thinking U.S. dollars, right? And so we talked some more, and then we prayed, and we felt like, you know what? I think God's encouraging us to give 100,000 U.S. dollars. I'm a pastor, okay, and so just so you know, I'm not a banker, right? I'm not a lawyer. But God's one thing for us as a family, we knew that we're going to get to this place. And so for the last 5 years, my wife and I, we've been saving money for our building fund. And we saved about 50,000 U.S. dollars. You know, and so we thought, you know what, we knew we're going to give. And I'll be telling you, honestly, right, that is the biggest check I've ever written in my life, by far. And I tell you, when we gave in the first fruit offering, my wife and I have never felt such joy in my life. It's not me, because, you know, if it was up to me, I'd keep the money, you know, but I can't explain it. I felt so much joy just giving that to the Lord. It was unspeakable. I couldn't explain it, right? We were so happy, you know, doing that. I mean, I've written checks other times, right, and I really hated it, you know, I mean, to the Lord or anyone else, right? You know, but this time I felt, wow, God's really doing something. So now, okay, we got that. We saved up, so we were ready for first fruits. And now my wife and I looked at each other and says, we need to come up with another 50,000 in 2010, right? This is the faith aspect. And so, you know, I don't want you to, I'm not trying to puff myself up or anything like that. I'm just telling a story, okay? And then if you think I'm arrogant, go ahead and think that, it's fine and things, but just share my story. And then what happened was, you know, a year before, you know, you guys know my mom died. And before she passed away, my wife and I, we actually bought her a watch. And it was a kind of very prophetic, you know, type of thing, because before they went out to the field, you know, I mean, my parents were successful, and she used to have a Rolex. And then we wanted just to bless her, right? And, you know, we didn't have much, but we just bought something. And we just, when we gave it the exact same Rolex that she had before, that she had to sell, you know, for the mission field and all this stuff. And so we just wanted to bless her, you know, and so we bought it for her, and she wore it for one day, you know, and so it was just sitting in a box, and we're trying to figure out what we should do with this watch, you know, and long story short, we eventually end up selling it, and we started, you know, my wife and I started thinking, and if we sell this thing, what would my mom want to do with this watch, you know, and it became very clear to us that my mom would, if she was here, she would give it to the church. And so we did. So that's a part of the pledge, right? A few years ago, through one of our brothers at church, we actually bought an apartment in Kuala Lumpur. And it was one of those where you buy, like, off plan, so you actually pay, you know, very little down payment. And so we did. And so, I mean, long story short, we decided to sell it, you know, and with the idea that whatever we make out of this house, we're going to give it to the Lord, and that's our pledge, right? That's the faith pledge. And so we, for about, you know, Stanley was the one that was helping us through all this. And he could probably attest, I was probably driving him crazy because a lawyer was going through him to get to me. And I was traveling, and they would offer a price, but I knew what I was short in my building pledge. And so I just stayed, no, this is what I want. We went back and forth about, 10, 15 times, right? Yeah, he was going crazy, right? I'm sure he was wanting to kill me. And I said, I was adamant, no, this is the price that I want for it, you know, because this is the rest of my pledge, right? And so you better give me this price. And I stuck firm, and, you know, and then it happened, right? The guy agreed to the price. And, you know, praise God, we have the rest of our pledge. You know, unfortunately, it's not done yet, right? I mean, it's done. It's just now, you know, the escrow and all that stuff. So hopefully soon, you know, and this is what got me to thinking, right? When I read the book of Acts, and I remember reading about Barnabas, you know, and remember Barnabas sold a tract of land, and then he laid it at the apostles' feet. For some reason, I always loved that, you know, that story. I don't know why. I just love that. It's just, wow, this guy would do something like that, you know. And then, you know, and there was always a part of me in my heart that always felt like, you know what, Lord, if you would bless me with a tract of land or some real estate or something, you know what? I'd do that as well. It is one of those kind of things, like a long time ago, you pray very frivolously, right? And the Lord provided, you know? And when, I forget where I was, I think I was in my quiet time and I was praying, and the Lord kind of reminded me of that thing. And I just started weeping. It's like, God, you bless me so much in this way that I could be like Barnabas? That's crazy. You know what I mean? Man. You love me that much, God, right? That for to give me a chance to do something like that, you know. And I honestly can't wait till the deal closes. You know, Stan, when's it gonna close, man? I'm dying. What? Yeah, Sophia's handling the paperwork, you know. But I know that, you know, that's what I'm gonna do. Right, when it comes, I'm gonna lay it at the apostles' feet, right? Lay it at the Lord's feet, and just be blessed, right? And so all to say, when I'm sharing this with you guys, I'm not talking, right, out of no experience whatsoever. I'm sacrificing. Our family is sacrificing as much as you guys are. You know, our staff, you know, I mean, our pastoral staff, I'm proud of these guys, right? You know, we filled about 91% of our pledges. Our staff did. You know, over $1 million Hong Kong, our staff. I mean, that's crazy. You know, when you think about it. You know, and I'm so proud of our guys, right? Because they believe in the vision. You know, it's not just talk, right? I mean, we're sold, man. We're vested, you know, in that way. And I think what, you know, I know the service has gone quite long and stuff. And I think all we're saying as we come to this place, you know, is let's share the struggle together. Real simple, right? Let's share the struggle together, you know? I know some of you guys might get offended me saying stuff like that. It's okay, you know. If you don't give, that's okay, right? No one's going to hunt you down. No one's going to give you a dirty look. In fact, most people don't even know anyway, you know. Probably only two people who are the accountants at church and stuff, you know. But I will say this, though. If you come to this church, right? I mean, if you're a member of this church, you should believe in what we're doing as a church. If you don't, now, I'm not saying go to another church, okay? Trust me, I'm not saying that. But I will say it this way. You should go to a church where you believe in that church. I mean, really simple, right? You should go to a place where you believe in the leadership, where you believe in the vision that you're willing to share the struggle with. If SP is not it, you know, I mean, you're more than welcome to come join us. You know, it's really, right? But I think you'll be missing out on something very precious, that you should find a church somewhere in Hong Kong or somewhere where you can have a willingness to share in that struggle with the leadership and with the church and to see things happen. Amen? Does that make sense, right? Again, I'm not kicking anyone out. Don't be like, I can't believe Pastor Sam is kicking people out of church, right? I'm not, okay? And so if that's how you read it, right, then you misunderstood what I said. So I make myself very clear, you know, and let's see what God does. Amen? Why don't you just get a hold of that card? We're not going to collect it today unless you're ready. I want you to go home and I want you to pray. Right, and we'll collect it on the 12th together as a church. So you have a few weeks, right? You get a hold of the card. I'm just going to pray over you, and we're just going to close the service. Sorry, Chris, it's too late right now, right? Kids are waiting. And so I just wanted to hold your pledge card in your hand. Not that there's anything mystical or magical about this, but it's just, you know, it's just a piece of paper, but it means a lot. And let's just pray, and I'll pray over us. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give, God. An opportunity, God, to sow. An opportunity, God, to say thank you for all that you've been doing in our lives, Lord. God, we know money is important, Lord. Lord, money is a spiritual matter. And the way that we administer our money, the way that you call us to be stewards of that, we understand, Lord. God, and you know, God, I'm not trying to twist people's arm to give. God, you love a cheerful giver. And so, Lord, we pray, God, that as we're praying over these weeks about our pledges and about our giving, God, that we just offer it to you, Father God. Help us to get out of the boat, Lord. Help us to take those steps of faith, God, and just watching you do things, Lord. God, I'm telling you, my family is so blessed just watching you do miracle after miracle. God, the Donaldsons are blessed watching you do miracle after miracle. Lord, Kenny is blessed watching you do miracle after miracle, God. Lord, because we just simply laid our hearts before you, Father. And so we give you the pledge, Lord. It's, yes, it has to do with money. But it's more than that, God. It's heart. It's shared vision. It's sharing the struggle together. So I pray that you would speak to us, Lord. God, there may be people here, God, that pledged last year, Lord, and maybe forgot, Lord, or maybe didn't take it seriously. Lord, honor those pledges in their life. Do something in the midst of them, in the area of finances, God. In the area of finances or in the area of their heart, Lord, that you'd move on their behalf, Lord. Now, there are some people that didn't pledge at all, God, and we bless them as well, Father. Lord, but we pray, God, that they would feel, God, that this is their church, Lord, and that they're part of this team, God. They're part of this body, Lord, and in that way, God, that they would be moved, Lord, by your heart in that way as well, Father. And so, Lord, and bless those that give, God. Bless those whose hearts are connected to one another. Lord, and do something, God, that we may impact Hong Kong and Asia and the rest of this world. We believe, God, in what you're doing at our church. And so we thank you, Lord. We bless you. But now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Huh? I hope you don't feel too heavy as you're leaving this room. But let there be joy in your hearts, right? So bless you, right? We're going to pick these up in a few weeks, so we have a little time to pray.